Figure it out. All right. On this beautiful July 7, 2019, glorious Lord's Day. Yeah. What a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God. And we're going to be teaching today, starting today, out of the book of Proverbs. And we want to pray over our Bible before we ever even start. Father, we thank you that you put a Bible in our hand. Lord, you're the one that gave the word, Psalm 68, verse 11. And great was the company of those that published it. And Father, every good thing comes from God. We know this word's good. If a man rightly divides it, and if a man doesn't, it can actually not be good. It could cause him to get confused. And we know God's not the author of confusion. So I pray, dear Father God, today you'll open your words to us. Make your words known to us. Open our eyes. Open our understanding. May we see clearly. May we think rightly. And whatever, Lord, that you show us, God, we promise to hold it as a treasure in our heart, Lord, as precious as gold. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to start teaching today. And this book, Proverbs, was written by Solomon. Solomon was a man that asked God for wisdom. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for victory over his enemies. He prayed that God would give him wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. God gave him riches. And God gave him victory as a plus to his noble request. And verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel.
Amen.
And this chapter 1 is a really good chapter. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give sublimity to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attend unto wise counsels. Now I'll stop right there. We just read 5 verses there. In Isaiah chapter 34, verse number 16, one of my favorite verses. I usually tell a lot of people this verse. It says, "Seek ye." Now, "ye" is the plural of all of you. In other words, seek all of you out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Now, if you don't want to fail, don't fail to read your Bible.
Right.
Now, that's one way to have success, is to stay in this Word. Jesus Himself told His disciples in John chapter 8, and you know, it was pretty clear. He said, "If ye be My disciples, continue ye in My Word." Jesus said unto those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed." And here's the benefit of it in St. John chapter 8, verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
Yeah.
Now, we have a lot of things going on today, especially in politics. And it's hard to cipher it all out. I mean, one will say one thing, another will say something contrary to that, and somebody will say something altogether different from either one of them. And then you got fake news, they say this, and it don't take that much smart to figure it out. All you got to do is get the facts, and you can tell some of them just lying through their teeth.
Right.
But Jesus said about God's Word in John 17:17, He said, "Thy Word is truth." And that's important, because people will intentionally lie to you, and people will sometimes not aiming to, but lie to you. But God will never lie to you.
Amen.
His Word is the purest truth there is on the earth. A lot of people are sarcastic to the Bible. I line everything up to the Bible. Right. It either goes to the left or to the right. Or maybe it's even center. And I keep it right where it's supposed to be. But I'll tell you right now, it's a good way to categorize things. And the wisest man that ever lived on the earth is exhorting us here in this book called Proverbs. He said to understand a proverb. That's important. The Bible said if any man lack understanding, let him ask God. And you know, when I first got saved, I had a zeal, but I didn't have knowledge.
Right.
And I was really struggling to understand what the Bible was saying. In James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if any of you, that's singular person speaking here, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him.
That's right.
So Proverbs here, Solomon says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. And you know, if you don't understand it, pray over it.
That's right.
If you don't understand it, inquire to God. God, what's this mean?
Yeah.
Hey, Sister Bonnie, good morning.
Good morning.
I tried to call you and I couldn't find your number. I know I'm recording this, but it's important.
Okay.
And I had a special request. We got a young lady coming today, and I wanted you to pray for her. Her name's Bessie. Okay. It's Brother Mitchell's sister. And she got thrown out of her house, pretty much lost everything she had pertaining to life. And really, she's at Brother Mitchell's contemplating taking her own life. And I encouraged her to come to church today. She's going to come today. She promised me she'd be here today. And I tried to call you for one thing, tell you I've been missing you. Another thing, I was going to have you pray for her, but whisper a prayer for Bessie today.
Yeah.
She's supposed to come today. She's supposed to bring her son with her today. And I'm looking forward to seeing what God's going to do if she does come. Because I tell you right now, boy, it stirred me pretty good just to see how God worked in this thing. Because Mitchell called me, and he was talking to me. And he said, well, you care to talk to her? I said, yeah, put her on the phone. And it worked out real good. I actually was able to find some common ground. And I told her, I said, Bessie, this is normal. People go through this all the time. But anyway, I don't want to get all over that. I'm teaching Sunday school. But I did try to call you. I couldn't find your number nowhere. I want to get it before you leave. But to understand a proverb and the interpretation, that's the goal of reading your Bible, is to find the interpretation, to find the understanding. You know, if you can't understand it, if you can't get the interpretation, a lot of people use the commentaries. I personally don't. And my pastor does, and I've learned a lot from my pastor. But I personally pray about things that I don't understand. I seek the counsel of God. I ask God for understanding. And I don't never claim to be the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm just a little, very little preacher. But I will tell you this. I run to God, and I pray and ask God for wisdom about things like what Solomon is saying here. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Here he gives some advice here, verse 7. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's the first step to understanding the Bible.
Yes.
Is to fear God and to give respect or reverence to God's Word.
Right.
A sarcastic attitude. Let me put this in terms where we can all understand it. If a little child come up to you and there's a smart aleck, they're sarcastic and very disrespectful, you wouldn't have a lot of regard to that little child. As a matter of fact, you'd probably ignore them. But if a little child come up in sincerity, in humility, and ask for your help, you'd stop what you're doing, wouldn't you?
That's right.
God's the same way. Humility, it is a great door to come to God through. Speaking of comes the door, here comes Sister Sharon to the door. He's out here just in time. But humility is the best door to come to God through.
Yes.
And not only with humility, but with respect and honor. And giving God honor will cause Him to put honor upon you. And He will guide you. He will teach you. He will help you if you'll just come to God in the right way.
Yes.
It really doesn't take rocket science to see what Solomon is saying here.
Right.
He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A lot of people, they not only don't fear God, they don't even acknowledge God. Now, they have a lot to do with Him, but they just kind of take it for granted. The Bible says that in Him, in Acts 17, we live and move and have our being. And in Colossians, it talks about in Colossians chapter 1, talking about God, that by Him all things exist. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. And without Him, nothing can exist. Now we think about everything having a beginning and an end, a little old puppy. We get, my granddaughter got a little old puppy, and ain't a puppy no more. I got scratches all over me. But I put up with it for her sake. I love her. And the puppy, I'm trying to love anyway. Get back to where my thought was there. shouldn't have went out chasing rabbits. But when people don't acknowledge God, they don't have any regard for God, they don't like to retain God in their knowledge, they try to live a life apart from God,
yeah.
I'll tell you right now, they're not going anywhere.
That's right.
But when you say, Lord, You made me.
Yeah.
Lord, You love me. Lord, You're my refuge, You're my strength, You're very present help in trouble. When you start giving God recognition and you start honoring Him and inviting Him to help you, He'll help you.
That's right.
And Solomon said, when you fear God, he said, that's where it all starts at.
Right.
And a lot of people don't fear God. They're sarcastic. They don't want to have anything to do with Him, and yet they have to have something to do with Him because He's the source of life. In Him is the light of men. And I want you to know that they wouldn't exist without God.
Right.
You know, I wish I could love like God does because He loves even those that hate Him. He calls it to rain upon the just and on the unjust. He don't send a bolt of lightning down, and I was one of them that shook their fist in the face of God and dared Him to meddle with me. I mean, Saul, he was a persecutor. He was injurious to the church. And as he's breathing out threatenings in Acts chapter 9 on his way to Damascus, he had more than a close encounter with God. He ran head on, a head on collision with God. And he had to ask Him who He was. Well, thank God, God's a loving God.
Yes.
He didn't burn Him to a crescent. And God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
But the fear of the Lord, it's where it all starts at. When a man can fear the Lord, God can show him some things.
Mm-hmm.
But that second part, but fools. Now this first chapter has a lot to do with fools. And I've met a lot of foolish people.
Yeah.
I mean, if they even listened to what they're saying, they'd realize that they were fools. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. They think they've already got everything all figured out. Nobody can show them nothing. They've done already learned it all. And they're smarter than everybody else. And that's a foolish thought. But Solomon goes on to say, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. You know, a good son will listen to his father. I've tried to help my son, and seem like everyone can help him but me. And And I still love him.
Yeah.
But I could help him a whole lot more if he let me. I don't make issues about it. I just tell him, I say, son, I could really help you if you wouldn't resist it so much. But my son, Solomon says, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. If two people ever cared about a child on this earth, it would be the mother and the father. They just seem like they do the unseen things. They do the things that they never get credit for, and they never get tired of doing them. And the children just, you know, they sit down at the table, and they may not say thank you for fixing what I like. They may not say thank you for washing my clothes or for getting me up on time. They may not ever say it, but I want you to know they'll never fail to do what a father and mother do to children. They're just constantly tending to them, helping them. And Solomon says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. The torch has to be passed down to the next generation. It don't always. You know, a lot of wisdoms went to the grave. I remember one time I went down. You remember my grandmother, Bonnie McDonald's? Edgar McDonald's? I went down one time. It's kind of surprising me that I did this. But I went down there one time, and I sat down, and I said, Mama May, would you mind giving me some of your wisdom? Mm-hmm. And then she was knitting on something or something, and she put it down, and she started sharing wisdom with me, and I remembered a lot of it. I've used a lot of it. But you know what? We don't do that enough.
No.
And once the wisdom goes to the grave, it's gone. And you know, that father could pass down a lot of wisdom to his son if that son could just realize what he's missing out on. Somebody said a son's a son till it takes a wife, and a daughter's a daughter all of her life. She's always saying, Mom, what do I need to put? How many eggs do I need to put in this?
Yeah.
And what did you say? A cup of sugar? I mean, you know, a daughter's a daughter all of her life, and a son, he has to stand on it. And I've got to catch myself, because I still struggle with the fact that my son's living in his own house now, making his own decisions now, and I certainly don't want to try to dominate his life, but I also want to offer any advice I can to him if he's open to it, if he wants it. I certainly want to offer it. But a lot of wisdom has went to the grave because people haven't realized how valuable. Solomon puts a lot of emphasis on wisdom in Proverbs. People don't realize just how valuable wisdom is. And a lot of things, it's probably a poor illustration. But my dad, he got me hunting arrowheads when I was still riding a bicycle. And he told me, he said, back years ago, he said the Indians had greater skills than he did, than the modern Indians, and they were able to make more perfect tools. The techniques were more perfected, and the modern Indians seemed like they kind of lost it, and the tools were very crude. And the older Indians, the tools were very precise, very well made. A lot of that I still notice even today when I'm hunting. I notice that, and of course I've got a different philosophy now than Dad taught me. And the reason I have a different philosophy is I've read the Bible through 17 times, and I realize this earth was flooded, and all the earth was covered with water. And these well-made tools, you're just liable to find them anywhere. There's no certain place that they are. They're called paleo arrowhead, paleo-Indian artifacts. I'm convinced that they are those that died during the flood of Noah's day. And after that, they still made tools, but they didn't have that craftsmanship. I'm pretty sure that's true. The tools were more perfectly made. But anyway, even with that, that wisdom, it needs to be passed down. He goes on to say, verse 9, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." Wisdom, it's an ornament of grace. You know, someone's got a lot of wisdom. They know how to behave.
Yeah.
I've seen some silly people, and they didn't know how to behave. I don't know what the heck my parents were doing, but they did kind of hold back on me. I had to learn everything kind of later. I still haven't really caught up with everybody in my generation, but they kind of held everything from me. They overprotected me, let me say it like that. I learned a lot of the things, some of them I didn't need to learn, but I learned a lot of the things I learned just from my peers and friends and other people and stuff. But they very overprotected me. And they've been better off just to give it to me. I mean, a lot of things Mom and Dad should have taught me instead of someone else. It would have been better if they taught me and put it like that. And that is a parent responsibility to train up the child and to teach a child. And that does need to be done. But that wisdom, it'll be an ornament of grace. Just to have the wisdom that you need to know what to do when things happen is a true blessing. And that ornament under your head and that chain about your neck, that just tells, you know, the world that you know, your exception when crisis arises. You know what to do when things go wrong. I can certainly identify with that. It just seemed like I can fix anything, and I know a lot of that had to do with my father. And he taught me more than I realized. I didn't even realize that when Dad was alive, it was only after he was gone that I had to do it myself instead of watch him do it, how much he'd actually taught me.
Right.
But it is a benefit. It's a blessing to have wisdom. Verse 10, "My son," again, Solomon, speaking precisely, "if sinners entice thee," and they do, "consent thou not." The guys I grew up with, the peers I grew up with, they not only were sinners, but they had a big influence on me, and it was the wrong kind of influence.
Yeah.
We stole, we skipped school, we beat people up, we'd go out at night, rob people's gardens, just all kind of things we shouldn't have done. It wasn't in fun, that's just the way we were. We were just sinners. And you know, come on, we'll have a big time. And we'd buy the wine and we'd buy the beer. And we certainly had a big time, but it wasn't as good as it built up to be. That hangover wasn't no fun. And I ended up getting hurt two other times. Some of them did too. But you know, sinners will entice you. When I was in school, this may be true with you, I don't know. But it seemed like when I was in school, if I could get someone else to do what I had done, I felt less guilty about it.
Oh, yeah.
If I could somehow talk them into doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I felt pretty bad about doing it, but if they did, I thought, well, they done it too, so it ain't that bad, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what it's talking about. If sinners entice you to do something, don't consent to it. Say, I'm not going to do that. Some reason or another, we don't do too good in that area there. But he said, consent thou not. In other words, just say no. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going there. No, I'm not partaking of that. Verse 11, if they say, come with us, let us lie. And you know, I thought about gangs when I read this verse. Gangs, they have, morning, Sister Carolyn, they have what's called like a family. And they operate on safety and numbers. So as long as there's more than one of them, you got to fight them all. And they're pretty much in league together. And I thought about gangs today, how they individually unite so that they'll have the strength of like a small army. But verse 11, if they say, now that's plural, they's more than one. He said, my son, in verse 10, if they say, come with us. Again, it's plural. Let us lie in wait for blood. Let us lurk privately for the innocent without cause. You know, gangs are always up to a lot of mischief. And this is kind of pointing in that direction about how, you know, that people will agree to do crime. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they was partaker in that little lie they told, and God, He kind of judged them both, killed them both. But these gangs, they think somehow they've got everything they need to do the things they want to do. Verse 12, they say, let us swallow them up alive as the grave. You know, this MS-13, I know God loves them. I really struggle because I want them caught. I want them stopped.
Right.
They're cruel. They're looking for victims. And they'll come across like they're kind of satanic. They're satanic. I said satanic. They're kind of satanic. They'll find an innocent person and they'll lure them to come to a designated place, and then they'll just cut them to pieces. Kind of like an offering to their satanic ritual there. And just watching them, just their manner, their demeanor, it's like devils to me. But you know, gangs are like that. There's no order. Really not a lot of loyalty. I mean, they'll kill one another. Just depends on the situation. I watched a movie one time called The End of the Spear. Anybody seen that? True story. About missionaries that went to this Aborigine people that were cut off from civilization. They was determined to get the gospel to them. They ended up paying for it with their lives. I was working at Donnelly's when they ended up getting killed, but they made a movie about it called The End of the Spear. I have the movie. But in that movie, these natives, they even turned on one another and they'd kill one another. But praise God, they ended up getting saved. It's a true story. I have I love the DVD so much, I loaned that so much, I bought another. And if anybody wants to watch it, just let me know and I'll bring it. You can watch it. I cried. I learned a lot watching that. I learned how hard it is to get the gospel to someone, you know, that doesn't really understand it. Someone doesn't really want it, but they really need it. But God worked in that. Even though these men lost their lives, their wives come in behind them and took their place. Me and Brother Ed was talking about how Carolyn steps in when Brother Jerry's not able to be here. These women moved in with these tribes. They scared to death of these women. They couldn't understand, how dare them come down here and move in with us. They was literally scared to death of these women. These women were scared to death of them too. But they got the gospel to them. Yeah. They scared them because they killed their husbands. But they were truly vicious. And if anybody wants to see that DVD, just holler at me and I'll be glad to let you see it. It's called The End of the Spear. While I'm at it, if you ever get a chance to watch the movie, I think it's called Do You Believe? It's got Lee Majors in it.
Yeah.
You seen it? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's a good one too. All right. This is kind of a game motive here. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. In other words, they're looking for a victim. Let us lurk privately. They're sneaking around for the innocent without a cause. They're just looking for someone to swallow up. It says, let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. Here's why they're going to do it. We shall find all the precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. They just want a victim. They want to kill them. They want to take anything they have valuable. Look at verse 14. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. That's a game orientation. That's what they say. Well, you know, they're kind of in agreement one with another. They're like a small army. Solomon here giving wisdom here. He says, my son, verse 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. In other words, he said, don't go there. Don't be a partaker of them. He says, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. You know, there's a price for that. One thing is when you get caught, you got to stand before the judge, and not the judge of all. Abraham said, shall not the judge of all the earth do right, and he will. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, judgment's going to be laid to the plummet. It's going to be put on the line. And Solomon here giving wisdom, he said, don't run with them. Don't go there. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Verse 17, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And you know, if a bird sees a net, it's going to avoid it.
Yeah.
So you got to kind of sneak that net in there, cover it up, lure that bird there, and then raise it up to catch it. And he says, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk proudly for their own lives. Mm-hmm. So are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain. You know, Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? James, talked about, you know, fall into hurtful lust. I'm losing my thought here. For the love of money, Paul, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Some people think if I could just get so much money,
yes,
like the man in Luke chapter 12, that somehow his crop brought forth plentifully, and he said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He said, this I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns, and I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, or something like that. Did his plans include God? Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Yeah.
When you make plans, if you don't include God,
right,
you'll hear what God said to him that night. He said, thou fool.
Yeah. Right.
This night thy soul should be required of thee. See, Solomon, he's kind of talking about fools and mistakes that fools make. And you know, anyone that runs with a bunch of gangs, that's a foolish choice,
yes,
a foolish mistake. He says in verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain. You see, they're willing to do anything to get ahead except ask God for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? The prophet Elijah, I believe it was, may have been Elisha, was called to a, I believe it was Elijah, called to a widow's house, and he said, what hast thou in thine house? He said, thy handmaid ain't got nothing but a little cruise oil. He said, that's good enough. Go borrow all the bathtubs and all the oil tankers you can borrow. He said, go inside and shut the door and pour out. Boy, it's good sometimes, just shut the door and pour out. But I tell you what, buddy, when the last vessel was filled, the oil stayed.
Yeah.
He said, go sell it. Pay your debt off. Live on the rest. I'm telling you, if you got little, someone said, God, one plus God is a majority.
That's right.
But I tell you right now, God can use what you got.
Yeah.
Let me use a good visual here. Does anybody know what that is?
No, that's too big for a
mustard.
Yeah, it is. I've got one at home.
There's wood mites.
Oh, really?
Now, when that woman threw them two in the treasury, Jesus heard her.
Yeah.
Now, this ain't a silver troy ounce round. This ain't a gold coin. That's a true wood mite. I bought that off a guy in Bowling Green. Mm. That actually is from Jerusalem. It's a true wood mite. When she threw that in, Jesus heard it. You know what he said? He said, I'll tell you the truth. She's put in more than they all, because she put in all that she had. God notices little. He works many times through the little that we have, you're not going to impress God a little lad had two sardines and a couple biscuits or some five barley loaves and two small fishes. God took it and fed 5,000.
Yeah.
It's the little that impresses God. But a lot of people, they're so greedy of gain.
Yeah.
You got to watch it.
Right.
You got to watch being around them. You got to watch what you say to them. Solomon said, so are the ways of everyone that's greedy of gain. They've got the carnality of the world. They don't have the mind of Christ. You know, the Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Just the other day, I gave somebody some money. It's a blessing.
Right.
It really was. I went down the road, wiped my tears, and I had to give. And when I gave, God blessed me.
Yes.
And, you know, God's He's the great giver. And He gives us everything that we have need.
Amen.
He supplies our needs and He riches in glory.
Yeah, right.
But He also teaches us to give. Mm-hmm. And when you see a need, it's the right thing. But when someone comes in and they say they kind of case your house, they come in and they notice where all the valuables are. And then you're gone and you come home and they're gone. All your valuables are gone. They didn't gain nothing.
No.
But they think they did. Solomon says, so are those that are greedy of gain. You know, they're not gaining anything, but they're greedy in their effort. That which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Last time they'll break in and my pastor told this last night at prayer meeting. Of course, we heard it last Sunday night over at Bethel. We had a visiting preacher there, Brother Lee Watts. And boy, he really gave a good message. He really did. We all wept. But he said this guy broke into, this older couple broke into the house, and they woke up. And they come down and they caught this guy going through their stuff. And they said, hey, what are you doing? And he turned around and he said, oh, I was kind of hoping to rob you, and you not catch me. He said, now I'm going to have to shoot you. I'm going to have to kill both of you. And the woman got to crying, and it kind of touched the heart of this robber. He didn't really want to kill him, but he said, I'm going to have to because you can recognize me in the lineup, and I've got to take your life. And he asked the woman, he said, what's your name? She said, my name's Hazel. And he started crying. He said, that was my mother's name. He said, I can't kill you because you got the same name as my mother. And he asked the man, he said, what's your name? He said, well, my dad named me George, but all my friends called me Hazel.
That's right.
But they come in and they're greedy of gain, and they'll take away the life, look, of the owners. The ones that own what they're stealing, they'll kill to take what they got. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. You know, wisdom, I mentioned a while ago, a lot of wisdom goes to the grave. A lot of things that have been learned through experience and hard work didn't get passed to the next generation. I'm going to tell this, but I'm going to tell it also in the preaching service. But a man in New York made the decision to sell his penthouse, and he went and bought a farm and moved out to the country, and he decided he's going to start farming now. Brother Jerry, he went down to the farm depot there, you know, and he said, I need 100 baby chicks. And the guy there at the farm there, Southern States or wherever, TSC, he said, boy, you're serious about farming, aren't you? He said, yes, sir, I am. He said, I lived in New York almost all my life. And he said, I've always wanted to live on the farm. I'm going to start farming. That's what I'm going to do now. He said, well, here you go, sir. About 2 weeks later, he come back and he said, I need to get another 100 baby chicks. He said, boy, you are serious about farming. He said, yeah, I think I planted them first ones too deep. They never did come up. But you see what I mean? Wisdom.
Oh, gosh.
You know, wisdom. We kind of take it for granted.
Right.
We kind of take it for granted, you know. But you know, someone showed us things. Someone showed us things. And you know, we're able to take that wisdom and we're able to provide a living. We're able to fix things. We're able to survive or to make it through life. Yeah, he said, I think I planned them first ones too deep.
Sound like a guy on Green Acres.
He says, she cried, talking about wisdom. She cried in the chief place of the concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city she uttered her words saying. Now I want you to know someone else starts speaking here in verse 22. I'm going to stop. I think I'm going to pause right here. But the next verse is, it's not Solomon
right
talking here.
That's right.
Now, he's penning the word. The Bible said, for the prophecy came not by men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe Peter says there, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but by the will of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And you know, we take this Bible for granted. A lot of people do. Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. In verse 22, this whole chapter takes a different meaning. This is not Solomon speaking. I know he penned it, but you're going to find out when we read these next verses here. There's quite a warning here. Borderline a threat to fools. Solomon spake about fools, and he built up to this exhortation. But in 22 of Proverbs chapter 1, it takes on a new meaning. But he pretty much covered a lot concerning fools, concerning wisdom, concerning things we ought to be mindful of, that we shouldn't be so hard-headed about. But I'll tell you what, buddy, starting in verse number 22, I want us to really take our time next Sunday from 22 down, because God has given a stern warning to fools right here, starting in verse 22. And we'll stop our Sunday school lesson right there. I'm not used to having five people in Sunday school, six counting me, but what a blessing it is. Amen. Appreciate everybody being here this morning.